From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Y. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
So, Shai, I would say that we both consider ourselves wordsmiths. So, news-wise, how would you sum up 2018 in five words or less?
Five words or less. I'm not sure that I can come up with it off the top of my head. What do you got?
How about, it's been a wild ride?
Well, that's for sure.
And you know, Shai, some of the biggest national stories were generated right here in Philadelphia.
And for the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Protesters calling for justice today after the arrests of two black men at this Philadelphia Starbucks
on Catholic
Thursday.
Church now, another explosive claim. The Pennsylvania Attorney General says the Vatican knew about the cover-up of abuse by clergy.
Right now, Bill Cosby, once one of the country's most beloved and successful entertainers, is just
for women across the country, as more than ever were elected to public office.
That includes Pennsylvania, often considered.
Yeah, and so for this show, we had a little bit of a hard time distilling what the most meaningful news was, but you know, we gave it a shot, and so here's a look back at what we thought were the most impactful stories of 2018.
Today's show, reflections on the recent past.
Here's to 2018.
So this first story created a seismic shift in the world because, well, it rocked.
The game is over! The game is over! The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions! Eagles!
I've been following the Eagles my whole life. I've been through a lot of disappointment, as have all Eagles fans in Philadelphia. And it was just, I don't have, I'm still struggling with the words to describe it. And sometimes I will turn to friends of mine and say, remember that time we won the Super Bowl? Like it didn't happen.
I am not a Philadelphia native. I am a Bay Area native. But this was so special the way it happened.
Hold on.
Fourth and one.
Hold on.
Number one.
We're going for it right here. We're going for it right here.
This game was phenomenal.
Philly special. Ready?
Goes directly to Clement. Clement reverses it. And it is a touchdown by Nick Foles!
It was an unbelievable game. I really think it's going to go down as one of the best Super Bowls in history, hands down. And I watch Super Bowls, but this was an amazing game. You know, the whole thing about underdogs, which is something that some of the Eagles kind of put forward early in the playoffs. They came in as underdogs in all of their games, and it really it seemed to just fuel them, and it fueled the whole city. And I'm never going to forget that excitement that just permeated everything.
As special as that victory was, Shai, that parade was even more.
I've never seen anything like it. So a few months later, there was this huge incident that happened in Philadelphia that became almost like a cultural reckoning for the city.
She says the men, both African American, were quietly waiting inside the cafe for a friend, but police say the store manager at the Starbucks called 911 after the.
And it was the arrest of two black men who were sitting in a Starbucks in Center City, Philadelphia. They hadn't ordered anything yet. One asked to use the bathroom. He was told he couldn't use the bathroom unless he bought something. An employee later came up to these men, asked if they were going to order something. They said they were waiting for a business partner to show up. They were going to have some sort of a business meeting. She then went and called the police. The police showed up, and these two men ended up getting arrested and hauled out of Starbucks. By that weekend, people were showing up to that Starbucks to protest.
You're going to see people from all walks of life today. And we're here for one thing and one thing only, and that's to shut you down.
I was out there that Sunday for a protest where protesters went into the Starbucks. They wanted this employee fired.
She must be fired because before you can have any healing, there has to be consequences for her action.
She had apparently been suspended for some period of time, but she had not been fired. And Eventually, the regional vice president of Starbucks, her name is Camille Himes, she showed up at the Starbucks and confronted the protesters.
Can I offer that we have just a dialogue? And so we respect what your requests are.
Listen, but you have this, I want you to understand very carefully because we are...
It's a tense moment.
And I have to say that, you know, if that incident was not recorded, I don't know if it would have created that stir, but that's what people started to do. They started to use their cell phones as a tool to publicize these incidents and also as a tool of protection. Lots of black people that I know started whipping out their cell phones when there was a suggestion of something that was unfair about to go down.
All right, so sir, we're getting calls that someone matching your description is going through people's purses.
I've been here
bags.
One time. So for 5 minutes, we got to get this.
Now we have more cops coming around Ishmael.
And certainly we saw this time and time again of black people getting the police called on them for just living their lives. Mm-hmm. So, Shai, you covered another really important story that really showed how difficult it is to be a Catholic in Pennsylvania, huh?
Well, this year it certainly was, yeah.
An explosive report alleging a cover-up of Catholic priest sex abuses dating back decades. A grand jury.
There was this massive grand jury report released. It detailed abuse by around 300 priests in six of Pennsylvania's eight Catholic dioceses over the past 80 years. And also showed how many of those priests were allowed to stay in active ministry and in many cases continue to abuse kids. It was huge. It was explosive. And about 5 days after the report was released, I got sent up to Allentown. The bishop of Allentown, he wrote a letter to all of the parishioners in the Allentown diocese responding to those allegations. And that letter was read at every church that Sunday.
Since 2002... Our diocese has taken strong and decisive action to address abuse.
So I did the recording, and later I went outside and talked to people just down on the sidewalk. Most of them were nice. You know, some were satisfied with what the bishop had said, some were not. And then there was this guy.
You know, you guys are like vultures.
Oh, I'm just a
group, and you know, why don't you come? Why weren't they investigating 30 years ago, 40 years?
A vulture?
Yeah, this was definitely the first time I've ever been called a vulture, at least to my face. And unfortunately, this man would not give his name.
Can I have your name, sir?
No.
But, you know, rather than just calling me names and walking away, he continued to talk to me. I mean, I've thought about that conversation a lot over the past few months because I think in a lot of ways it was a kind of a perfect encapsulation of the struggle Catholics were feeling, mm-hmm. you know, probably have been feeling for decades. These horrible facts come to light, and he felt under attack. He was defensive, felt defensive for the church he loves.
You know, but the people that you're talking to didn't do anything.
No, I just want their reaction. I want to hear...
Their reaction is maybe you should... You wouldn't go to funerals, right?
Well, no, of course not.
Yeah, well, this is like one.
In what way?
We're suffering, and you want to just glare at us and ask us a million questions. You wouldn't do that to somebody who's...
You know, this institution, to him at least, and maybe to other Catholics, was like a beloved family member who it turned out had really done some bad things. And it was hard for him to wrestle with that. What I wish I had said at the time was, you know, does this make you angry that the people in charge of the institution of the religion that you love, you know, did bad things and covered it up? And it seemed like he was angry at the church. But this is really just my own take. I think he may have felt that anger just kind of belonged to him and his fellow Catholics, not the rest of us observing. And he felt like the rest of us were just kind of looking at the Catholic Church and saying, you did this, you did this, you did this, when it was really something for Catholics to say to the church.
Yeah. Shai, there were also stories that we followed this year that perhaps weren't as big but were just as meaningful because they celebrated the successes of Philadelphia's public school students, mm-hmm. like Ania Moore. She's a graduate of Masterman, and she's now a senior at Penn and was one of only 30 students in the country to become a Rhodes Scholar. Mm-hmm. And there was another story, too. You know, I used to work at a nonprofit after-school program called Mighty Writers. I was the program director there at the studio in West Philadelphia. So I had Trey as an eighth grader. This is what we called him, Trey, because he's Richard Jenkins III. And as soon as he walked through the door, I knew he was special. At one point, he, his mom, and his two little brothers lived in a shelter.
And did you know that when you were teaching him?
No, I didn't. He never talked about it.
One time I was walking back from school with my friend Joshua, and we're on the corner, literally next to the shelter that I lived at the time, and it looked like a big house. At the time, I just told him, yeah, that's my house right there, because I was like so embarrassed to say I lived in a shelter.
And still, he dreamed big and applied to some pretty prestigious universities.
Yep. And when he found out, Shai, that he had gotten into Harvard, well, let's just roll this tape. We'll let him describe it.
Okay. I checked Penn, and I got waitlisted. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, at least it's not a denial. And I checked Yale, and I got denied. I'm like, okay. And in my head, I'm already thinking, okay, Harvard's going to deny me too. And I open up the Harvard tab, and there's a link to a video saying, welcome to the class of 2022. That's basically how it was.
Trey started his first year at Harvard in September, and something tells me he'll be fine.
Annette, there is one last story we can't forget if we're talking about Philly feel-good moments. Earlier this year, a giant orange Flyers mascot crawled out from under the Wells Fargo Center and into the hearts of the city of Philadelphia and all of Twitter.
Ready. He's the anti-mascot. He fits in perfectly. That jiggle, baby. It's all about that jiggle.
That's right, Shai. This would not be a real year in review if we did not talk about the gritty in the room.
That thing is horrifying. He looks like if Ed Sheeran exploded.
So how did you first hear about gritty?
Oh, gee, I heard about gritty on Twitter. And it was so Philly, Shai. I remember when you told me how Philly fans reacted to gritty.
Right. I mean, there was this one tweet that was going around. I'm going to bleep myself in saying this tweet. But basically, it said the Philadelphians looked at gritty and said, what the bleep is this? And then the national media looked at gritty and said, what the bleep is this? And then Philadelphians said, you leave gritty alone. He's a national treasure. Which is the perfect
Don't
Philadelphia
you be
reaction.
Messing with gritty. But it's so interesting because even city council had a resolution
all
on
right.
gritty.
Moving probably second, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. That
It's hard to hear there, but that's Councilman Curtis Jones voting against the resolution.
Councilman, what, clarify. All right.
He ugly.
So we invited Gritty to come on the show and then realized that Gritty doesn't actually make any noise.
He speaks in body language.
He sure does, and he speaks well, but doesn't work very well for radio. So we were thinking, if Gritty had a sound effect, what would it be? And we came up with a few for you to choose from. So here's number one. And here's number two.
And here is number three.
So write us on Twitter. I'm at Shai Ben Yaakov, or you can write at Annette JH and let us know which one is your favorite. And that will be gritty sound effect, the authentic, official gritty sound effect.
We can make it happen, Philly. Mm-hmm.
And on that note, that's it for the show. The Y is produced by me and Annette. with Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Jen Kinney.
Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave a review. That really, really helps us. We're just not saying this, it really does.
Have a happy and healthy new year, and we'll be back tomorrow.
In 2019.